The following content is provided under a Creative Commons license. Your support will help MIT OpenCourseWare continue to offer high-quality educational resources for free. To make a donation or view additional materials from hundreds of MIT courses, visit MIT OpenCourseWare at ocw.mit.edu.
All right, so we're back to the part of the we're back to the part of the class we're sneaking up on you, which is more project management stuff, or going into further detail on Agile. This is going to be entirely about the product backlog. You've already heard some of what I'm going to say, because I'm going to repeat what I said yesterday, but I want to go into further detail to kind of hold your hands and explain to you how to make one and what's the thinking that goes into it and how it gets used. So, it contains all the potential functionality of your end product. And if it's a proper product backlog, all of that functionality has been prioritized by your product owner so that someone looking at the project backlog can go start from the top and go all the way down to say, what is the most important thing? If we only ever got to here, we only have enough time to do here, that's the project we're releasing, and we're okay with that because those are the most important features, period. On any product backlog, because it's impossible to make a product backlog that does not explode in scope, almost always the things at the bottom are not going to get done, especially on short 2-week projects, even you will discover on longer 8-week projects. So the prioritization is something you do want to think about, because the things on the bottom are probably things you're saying goodbye to. The things on the top are the things that are going to get done. And where that line meets in the middle depends on your team and its ability to get stuff done. But you want to make sure that those things at the top really are the high-value things that you really want to get in. Halfway through your project, your product backlog can serve as a snapshot. Hey, how much of our stuff has we gotten done? How much have we got left to do? So it lets you sort of take a look at how quickly you're getting things in and make some good predictions about how much stuff your project is going to have working in it when it finally ships. Is that all the points that we're supposed to hit here? Let's find out. Okay. I'm using the phrase functionality here because a feature is not quite what I want to talk about. I want to talk about what's going to be happening in your product and why it's happening. So here's a sample backlog. And what the minimum a backlog needs, it does not have to be a big fancy document. In fact, it should not be a big fancy document. It should be a small, easy to maintain document. Product backlogs go great in Excel or Google Spreadsheet. If you want something that's easily shareable by your whole team, they go really well there. It's nice to have an ID number so that as soon as you create a particular feature or story on a backlog, you can reference that across different documents in case you've got a sprint task list or something, you want to know which function this particular task tracks back to. Having an ID is nice. You need the actual description. This particular backlog is done using what's called user stories, and I will talk about them more later. But no matter what style you use or how you're putting up, whether you're putting features or user stories in your product backlog, you want it to be short, succinct, and you want something testable. So that at the end of the sprint, when the product owner goes back to say, hey, did you complete the 4 stories you said that they did? They can go in, they can run your game, play it, and say, aha, yes, it does this, 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 and this. Okay, the functionality I asked for is there. Doesn't mean it needs to be simple. You can have complicated stories that are big and cover, like, I want to have a physics engine. But it does mean it needs to be something that you can test and you can see the results of whether it's working or not. You should probably have a column for the estimate for how long this is going to take. In this case, these estimates are not in hours. I'm not actually sure what estimate scheme this is. I suspect it's story points, which I'm not going to talk about with you because they're complicated. Philip will talk about estimation later, so I won't go very hard into it. Usually what you want is some way to compare. Rather than trying to figure out exactly how long a particular item in your product backlog is going to take, you want to have a way to compare it to how big it is versus all the other items. So you might have a small task, a big task, a really honking big task. It might be a way to do estimates in your product backlog. And you don't need a whole lot more refining with that. You don't have to figure out whether that honking big task means 3 weeks or 1 week, but you've got some way to judge which of these stories are big and which of these stories are small. And finally, you need a priority column. And that's really all you need for a decent backlog. So when you are writing these descriptions, these are all actually fairly specific descriptions here on this backlog. But you can get, it is not at all unreasonable to think about stories that say things like, we'd like to have a physics engine, or we need to rewrite the graphics renderer because we're only getting 10 frames per second and we need to have a minimum of 40 frames per second for the game to run. Those are very clear, testable goals, but they're really frickin' huge. And they're not the sort of thing you might be able to achieve all in one sprint, even if you've got a team of 4 or 5 renderer programmers. So often on a backlog, you will find stories have a certain stories will come in different sizes and in different levels of detail. So you might have a story down at the bottom that no one has thought about real hard that says, I want to have flying fish in game. And you might have a story further up that says, I know that since we've already made the levels in the game that have jungles in them, I would like to have monkeys in a jungle level. Your flying fish one down there may also secretly depend on having some ocean levels, having working water in game, having the player have the ability to go underwater. But because that's all the way down at the bottom of the... Because it's all the way down here at the bottom of the product backlog, it's just hanging out there as I want flying fishing game. As it comes up the backlog, as it gets more likely to actually get built, that's when people go in and they start breaking stories down into I want flying fishing game. What does this mean? This means we're going to have a water level. This means we're going to have render water. This means we're going to have to, et cetera, and so forth. And you break all those down into smaller stories, which then some of which may get implemented, some of which may drop back down to the bottom, or some of which may say, you know what? Flying fish means water levels. That's way too much work. All right, let's just pitch this story out. Drop its prioritization to, 3,000, and we'll never see it again, and that's okay. But you really kind of want to think about the items on your product backlog as hopefully the most detailed items are the one on top, and the most vague ones are the ones on the bottom. So I have made one assumption here. Does everyone here know what I mean when I say a feature? Can someone tell me what a feature is? In a game is fine.
Mechanic.
A mechanic?
Jumping.
Jumping is, for example, a feature. Yes. Okay. So a feature is usually... Yes.
Multiple save slots?
Yes. Or even the very first save slot is a feature. The second save slot is another feature, probably. Yeah.
Anything your game can do,
mm-hmm.
whether intentional or not.
Features are intentional.
Okay.
You may have bugs and things like that that end up being kind of cool in your game, but a feature is something you intend. So features, most people when they sit down to write a product backlog, the first thing they do is they think of listing a whole bunch of features. Characters should be able to jump. Characters should be able to run. Characters should be able to jump from platform to platform. We should have platforms. Hey, it's a feature. If you don't have platforms, jumping from platform to platform is not going to work very well. Many agile advocates, I find these to be a little more useful, but I also find them harder to do. Like to use user stories. The reason being is that instead of just saying, I want to jump, if you're going to write that, you have to say, as the user, I would like my character to be able to jump so that I can leap from platform to platform. Why do we need all these extra words to say I want jumping in game? The goal is to not just say I want this feature, but also to try to give a reason for why you want that feature or that functionality, thus allowing the development team to think about, well, is there a better way to do this by jumping? Because this is a science fiction game, and instead of jumping, we could have jetpacks. And that would be really cool. And we could create a whole little economy system based on, you know, can you get enough fuel for your jetpack? And then sometimes your jetpack would work and sometimes it wouldn't. There's a whole lot we could do with that. Do we have to do jumping or do you just want to be able to get from platform to platform? Right? So the power of the user story is that it allows you to take a look at why this particular item is being asked for and to double check back that this is actually the best way to implement that particular set of functions. The part where it says as the user, designer, artist allows you to tell from whose point of view, if in the case of jumping from the user, who is the person who really is going to be using this, who wants it, and who should be testing it. I realize you don't usually have a user on your team, but your tester should be able to switch hats well enough to think in terms of a user. Sometimes you build features for your game that the user is never ever going to touch, in which case you don't want to go back to your team's tester and ask them how it's working. Your designer may want a level editor. You should go ask them, why do they want the level editor? Well, I want the level editor so that I can make levels without having to pester the programmers or the artists because they're never around when I need them. But knowing why they want that item can really help you to implement it in the way that it needs to be implemented. These do take more time to write. They are harder. I'm going to ask everybody to try to write things in terms of user story for this sample product backlog. On Project 3, we will allow you to choose user stories or feature lists, so you can sort of think about it and do the comparison. But for this exercise, for the exercise at the end of this lecture, I do want people to think in terms of user stories to try to wrap your heads around how they work. Oh, wow. I already did this. Haha. So I went ahead and did this already. So the reason you want it, here's some additional examples. As the user, I want cars to go fast so I feel powerful in game, versus the player's car's max speed should be 150 miles per hour at least. The nice thing about knowing that I want them to go fast so I can feel powerful in game is that means that the tester can come back and say, you know, the cars go really fast, but so do all the other AI cars. It doesn't make me feel particularly powerful or useful in game because I'm getting passed by all the AI drivers all the time. I'm going 150 miles per hour, but it's not working. So you could easily, I have seen and worked with level editors that require designers to go back and ping the programmers every 20 minutes for, okay, could you compile it for me? Okay, can you do this for me? I need you to do that. When you're going ahead and specifying exactly what's going on, it's a little easier to get what people want. I've now over-talked this. So let's create a product backlog. Let me go ahead. I have to break out of this because PowerPoint conquered me, and I could not figure out how to make it link in a spreadsheet. So give me just a moment. I'll get up. So can anyone think of a game, a reasonably small, hopefully casual user game, that most of the people here have played?
Pac-Man.
What was that?
Pac-Man.
Pac-Man. Excellent. Much better than Tetris, because I've done a pile of Tetris. Okay, so we're going to design a Pac-Man game using user stories. And we're currently only going to get 4 or 5 features down. But, so, what are the features? How do you describe Pac-Man to me on a product backlog?
There has to be a maze.
Okay. This is not going to work. If you know why? Because I'm not cloning the screen. I can't type on that.
You can mirror.
I can mirror. You are quite correct. Which means I need to go to display. Yep. I need to change the way this is working, that's all. You are not the right one. Why are you not the right one? Show view options. That should be display. Right, system. Right, it's a Mac. Damn, Macs.
OCD. It's a scrub. It's right there.
Graphic references.
Displays.
Yep. Here are displays. Yay! Okay, sorry about that. Alright, do we have to be? There has to be a maze. Alright, what else?
We need ghosts.
You don't have to do it in user story form, but okay, we need ghosts.
To chase the player.
Okay, we need ghosts. Chase the player. Pretend that I've never played Pac-Man. Pretend that I'm reading this and I haven't actually played Pac-Man.
We need to make it so when the ghosts hit the player dies.
Okay.
On Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say on contact, but you changed that, so.
Yeah.
We should be able to kill the ghosts. Empower them.
Who? We, you say we. Who should be able to kill the ghost?
The player.
Okay.
Doesn't have a card.
Huh?
As a user, I want little pellets everywhere so that I can feel like I'm getting lots of points.
I should be a scorer.
You should be able to move in more directions.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
The user eating cherries will make me feel more powerful by allowing me to eat the ghosts.
Cherries just
the larger palace than the
I'm just writing down. I never played this Pac-Man game. I'm just writing down the stories I get. Okay. I'm trying to find somebody who hasn't. I got several hands up, but I'm not sure who hasn't spoken yet.
As a user, should be able to. Well, the board should be able to wrap around.
Teleportation
mechanic.
Okay. Yeah. The player should animate when moving and not animate when standing in one place. And there should be sounds.
I heard an and. Can you give me just the first half?
So animation while moving and no animation while standing.
Kind of follow up that. As a user, I want to be able to flash when I'm powerful. Okay. I think you've had your hand up for a while, and I...
Yeah. The user shouldn't be able to stop moving unless they hit a wall.
Okay.
There should be sound effects to provide feedback.
Okay. I think we're actually getting pretty done. You and then you.
Yeah. Ghost should change color to indicate that the creature is weak.
Okay, and. Yeah.
The ghost should never trap you so that there's always a way to win. I got to blow your mind.
Okay, very last one.
A user puts in a quarter to start a new game. Microtransactions.
All right, so we now have discovered a way to monetize our game. Excellent. Okay. So given all this, and I will grant that there are certainly more features, what do you think we need to do first? What should happen first here?
The
May should happen first. Okay.
Moving.
That's pretty much the closest I have to the user should move is.
Player should be able to move in four directions.
Player should be able to move in four directions.
Ten.
Yep, you're right. Two.
the ghosts. So, my time.
Number. We need ghosts? Alright.
The ability to start a new game, so line 19.
It does imply the ability to start a new game.
The walls are probably important because otherwise the maze doesn't matter.
The not moving unless they hit a wall?
Yeah. Something to eat.
Eight.
I think
ghost killing the player should come.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that should be right after ghosts.
Oops. Oh, well.
You know what? We have the power of fractional numbers. Usually when I do this, I actually do it by tens, because I should have been doing 10, 20, 30, 40, because then it gets much easier. But I think that points out actually an important thing when you're going through and making your own product backlogs. Don't number things 1, 2, 3, 4. Number them 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. Because that way it gets much easier to put in feature 35. Okay. I think we've probably done enough of this. Do a quick sort. Okay. This is my day. Right, this isn't.
It's under filter.
Why did they hide it?
Underneath.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. Apparently, I cannot run a computer day. Okay. So when our development cycle gets cut off early, that's the amount of game we get. I will note that we did not actually make a avatar for the player. The player can move, but we did not put any time into designing an avatar, so you've got a piece of programmer art probably wandering around the board. But you've got nice looking monsters. It goes with animations, but before animations part of animations is probably actually also separating out having an actual avatar to draw. But that's an example of the way that a lot of stories can often unpack to imply several other stories. I'm sorry, I talked right over you.
Oh, I was saying that you can do animations without art if you like alternate between left pen and dash. Like,
yep. Or if you just have like a little ball that bounces up and down but doesn't do much. So yeah. All right. Okay,
just one observation. If you just add it, you should be able to kill the ghost. You've got Robotron right there. You don't have it yet, but you've Robotron.
Almost.
Maybe the mazes, yeah.
Yep. Okay, I just want to do a real quick run through here. That done. Boom.
Actually, I have a question.
Yeah.
So, is there ever a case where you would like put priority the same for two things?
Yes, all too often. You run into two things that you're convinced are equally important. And at some point, if you're lucky, you've got enough time in your sprint that both of them can come up and go in.
Okay.
If you're really unfortunate, you've got sort of a fairly full sprint. It's kind of riding the border whether or not one of those items is going to get in. And at that point, that's where the product owner's hat gets hard. Because somebody has to make the call. Yeah, they look equally important, but if you're only getting one of them, choose one.
So I guess like if maybe my priority one was to make a level and my priority two was to make a menu screen and now we got to do those two, that's not really a new game.
No, so it's not really a game yet,
Could I put more things at the same priority so that with my minimum priority I will accomplish a game?
You know, you can put more things in at the same priority, but it doesn't actually put more time into your sprint.
Sure.
And that is the problem. That is the problem.
I guess I would just have difficulty knowing what... I guess I find it hard to evaluate how useful something is without what the other thing is, right?
At that point, you start to wonder whether the things that are actually high priority are actually all that high priority. Because you start saying, well, but that seems to be important too, and that seems to be important too, or they all should be of the same priority. It's like, well, you're basing that on the assumption that you started off with high priority. Maybe that's not important. Maybe the manuscript's not important.
I mean, if you don't have any game to go in between or to go into and out of, what's the menu screen doing?
That's true.
Yeah, that was a bad example, I guess.
Yeah, no. Certainly there are things that seem equally important. And sometimes what happens is, especially at a sprint release, you will end up with something that, oh, look, there's a guy on the screen. I can move him around on the screen. You're right. That's not a grant. That's not a game. But it's something that can be tested. It's something you can release. It's something you can look at to prove that those stories got filled. And it's enough work that in the next instantiation, the next sprint, you may be able to put in monsters and things shooting back and stuff like that.
Okay. It's also an example where if you have a product owner who doesn't know, you've also got a scrum master there to help the product owner know better. The product owner is part of the team. They're part of that discussion. That discussion is happening. But there are some things that the team are going to know that the product owner is not going to know. And hopefully in these meetings where you're creating these priority lists, the scrum master sees that and says, all right, Mr. Product Owner, this one's going to be higher. It just has to be. And the product owner hopefully says, okay.
Sometimes we have to do this. Before I can put in animations for your avatar, we have to have an avatar.
Yeah.
Something that I think might not have been entirely obvious when you're describing it, when you're doing the priority and everything, that might be for a single sprint, and you're going to be having another one, so you don't need to get everything done right then. You might get half of the game done then and half of the game done
mm-hmm.
for the next one.
Yeah, we were looking at the product backlog, and I was assuming that, say, only you thought you were going to have four sprints, you end up with two sprints, you only got through the first half and the second half, because I didn't want to work through the entire game of Pac-Man here. But yeah, usually, and the product backlog can and should get reprioritized at the end of a sprint. As you look at what you've actually got in the game, and you look how it affects, and you look at what's coming up. People will often say, oh, I just had this awesome idea, I'm going to put it on the product backlog. It goes on unprioritized, but everyone agrees, you know what, that's such a good idea, let's go ahead and move it up and do it in the very next sprint. That happens because people come up with ideas. That's the whole point of having a flexible system like a product backlog, where it is down at the bottom, you're not putting a whole lot of thought into it because you haven't gotten to it yet, and you may not get to it because other ideas may jump in and be decided that, yeah, this is just a better direction to take this project. Okay. All right. So it's your turn. For your P2, create a product backlog. Hopefully you have a vision. Hopefully you've got a paper prototype or a prototype of some sort that you were supposed to have done for today's class, which should be able to serve as a guide. In many ways, you should be able to just take a look at what are the features in your prototype. All right, write them down as features. How do I turn them into user stories? Turn them into user stories. What's the very first thing that ought to go in? Prioritize it from there. Say, what time is it? It is 1:40. Wow. Okay, so about half an hour. Half an hour. And if you get done a little bit early, it's okay to take the last 10 minutes as a break. So you get up and stretch your legs a little bit. But we are going to be trying to start the estimation lecture at 2:10. So be here at 2:10 for the estimation lecture.